Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Our dear brother, Michael Cornell, who used to sit right over here, is now sitting in heaven. He went to be with the Lord. There's a time for everything. And the quality of life was no longer really not any quality at all in for him. So he went to be with the Lord. And he is probably dancing. You know the song Imagine? I mean, everybody knows that song. It's been around for quite a while. What do you think you're going to do when you first see the Lord face to face? What are you going to fall on your face? Or are you going to, what are you going to do? All right, we need, for Christmas Eve, which is Sunday morning, we need two men who are strong enough to move some furniture and some stuff across the stage. So we need a couple of guys that are strong to be able to do that. Are there any strong men here? There's one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
We need some non-band members.
Say that again,
Eric. Non-band members.
Not band members.
Not band members, yes.
Yeah, not
correct.
Band members. Okay. So if you are strong and can help with that, please see Eric, who's up in the booth there right now after the service, or Jenny, who's home sick right now, not doing well. I want to pray for her. And Father, we just believe already for Jenny and Brian's healing, and we're going to thank you for it. And believe you to take care of that. It's already done, and we claim it done in Jesus' name. Amen. What time, Eric?
9:30.
What time?
9:30.
Okay. All right. There is a gym I don't know if you're aware of called Anytime Fitness. You've seen them around. It's a franchise. God has a gym. It's called Anytime Joy. Anytime Joy. 24/7, you can go to it, and it'll fit your lifestyle. Whatever you need, when you need it, you can go to Anytime Joy and get the workout you need. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not anything we can manufacture. It is something that's produced by the Holy Spirit, not us. Yet we play a part when this fruit is manifesting. And our part is to exercise the faith that God has given to us. You know, every believer's been given a gift of faith. Romans 12:3, every man's been given a measure of faith. So God, before you were born, knew the things that you were going to be faced with, the challenges and so forth. And so he put and deposited within your life the measure of faith that you need to face your giants, to face your mountains. It's already there. And faith is also a fruit of the Spirit. You know, there are nine. The fruit of the Spirit is love, actually, and these others are manifestations of love, really. The fruit of the Spirit is love with these other eight manifestations of love. Joy is a manifestation of love. Peace is a manifestation of love. Patience is a manifestation of love. Faith is a manifestation of love. Meekness is a manifestation of love. Goodness is a manifestation of love. Self-control is a manifestation of love. Have you ever thought of it that way? Well, there's something new for you right there. So faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's listed in Galatians 5. Joy is listed, but these are all the unfolding of a rose, the unfolding of love in our life. And it comes out this way. Here's how it works. Romans 15, 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." What? Say that last part again. In believing. That's your part. That's how it comes out. That's how it manifests. It's in you. And you say, "Well, I need some more joy." No, you have all the joy you need. It's already resident in Jesus. It's in your spirit. Now, it may have to burst through your soul and come outside of your body to be manifest in some way, but you already have all the joy that you'll ever need. It's already inside you in your spirit. Your spirit is full of joy. Maybe not your soul, but your spirit man is full of joy. Your spirit man's full of love. Your spirit man's full of faith. Your spirit man's full of patience. Your spirit man is full of meekness and self-control. It's all in your spirit. It's already there. It's just waiting to blossom out. And the way it comes out is when we are believing God, believing His Word, and acting on His Word. Then it comes out. It won't come out until we're believing. Believers are to be believing God for something. So when we start believing God's Word, we start having joy and peace. That's how it works. You can't pray for that. "Oh, God, give me joy." No. He's already given it. "God, help me to let your joy flow through my spirit, over into my soul, and even be expressed in my physical body." How will that happen? Through believing. Through believing. So when we start believing God's word, we'll start having the joy and the peace and the love and the patience manifest when we start believing. Are you with me? When you first believed, when you got saved, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at that moment of salvation, I'll guarantee you, you had some kind of a manifestation of peace or joy or love. Didn't you? How many of you? Oh, yeah. Even as a child, you had some manifestation. And then it spilled over into your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You started saying, "I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I have joy. I have peace. I'm right with God. I know God loves me. I know He's forgiven me. I have peace with God. I have the joy of His presence," because you were believing. So why did it stop? The only way it can stop is if you stop believing for it. It's always there. Joy is always there. Peace is always there. Love is always there. Goodness of faith. It's always there. The only way it stops flowing through you is when you stop believing. Man, that's good preaching. Christmas time, one of my favorite movies is A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge. "Ratchet! No, you can't have another lump of coal. Get back to work, Cratchit. I could be a good Ebenezer Scrooge." Thank you. I've had a lot of practice. Years ago, we had somebody give us a gift. I think it was like a little doll of Ebenezer Scrooge in a boot or a Christmas boot or like a Santa Claus boot or something like that. And they gave it to me because I confessed during the Christmas season that year that I'd been a Scrooge. And so we had that thing for a long time. And then each year, Pam and I kind of pass it back and forth. Who was the Scrooge that year, you know? And I think I got it more times than her. But anyway, I love that character. And I love that movie because it's a movie about redemption. Think about it. Here's a guy that's mean. He's nasty. He's a miser. He's rich.
and he's miserable. Doesn't believe in Christmas. He thinks it's just, they're just out to get your money. And so he hates everything except money. He loves money. And you know the story. And I love the scene toward the end. He's there, you know, and there he's, that last ghost of Christmas, spirit Christmas, whatever, came and shows him his tombstone. And he's there and he wipes that snow off and sees his name. And he starts to weep and cry and break down. And oh, he is sorry at that moment for seeing that he's coming to his end and he's miserable. And he wants to change. And he begs for another opportunity. Please, I will change. Repentance. And he does get another opportunity. Wakes up from the dream. And he's a changed man. I mean, how did Scrooge express joy in that movie? You tell me. How did he express joy? How did joy manifest? What was different? Giving. He wasn't a giver before, but he started being a giver. What else? Laughing. He didn't laugh before, not even once. What else? Kindness. What else? Enthusiasm about life. What else? He was lighthearted. He was playful. Remember, he wanted to go play a joke on Bob Cratchit. Remember, he's going to go in there and tell him, you got to get back to work and you can't have off. Remember all that? And then he goes there and then he smiles and he got a great big old. He's giddy. He's fun-loving. He's lighthearted. He's happy. He's fun-loving. He's joyful. He's actually giddy. He's just giddy. Remember, he got all lightheaded. Woo-hoo-hoo, I need to settle down here. When you express joy, it'll come out in different ways. It doesn't mean you have to be goofy and crazy, but I mean, there's just a variety of ways joy will manifest in your life. And joy was the evidence that this man had been converted. Shouldn't it be the same thing about you and I? That we've been converted. We've been changed. And joy should be the evidence. Joy is a sign of God's invisible presence. You don't see God, but joy is a sign that God's here. You'll pick it up from people. Sometimes you'll know people are Christians without them ever telling you they're Christian. Because they have joy. It doesn't mean everything's going right in their life. It doesn't mean they're living a Hallmark movie. Doesn't mean everything's just wonderful. You don't know what's going on in their life, but the sign of God's invisible presence will be there'll be joy there. Psalm 16, verse 11, out of the Amplified, says this, "You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The Holy Spirit wants us to experience God's joy. You don't strive. You don't strain real hard to produce the fruit of joy. It comes out without your effort. It comes out because it's just an invisible sign that God's with you. He's going to show you the path of life. Mary, Joseph, shepherds were filled with joy. Why? They'd seen babies born before, but this was Emmanuel. God is with us. That's what brings joy. Matthew 2:10, Matthew 2:10 says, when they saw the star, the wise men, the magi, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They saw the sign of God is working. God is doing something. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 14, again, there they had great joy. You'll have joy and gladness because God's with us. Is it possible for you to have joy and grief at the same time? Well, I knew you'd say that. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's possible to have joy in the midst of deep grief and deep loss. But it's only possible with God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 out of the Amplified. It tells us believers, it says, without seeing him, you love him. Though you don't even now see him, you believe in him, do you? Are there any believers here?
Amen.
And you exalt and you thrill with inexpressible and glorious and triumphant joy. That's what I wanted you to manifest up here. Okay, we bring him joy through our thanksgiving and through our praise. We bring him joy. It's in us, but we bring it out of us and we give him joy. And it's a part of our life. Well, hello, Santa.
Hi.
How you doing? Tell us where do you get your joy from?
The joy of the Lord. I got the joy down in my heart. Woo! Down in my heart. Woo! Down in my heart. I got that joy down in my heart. It's down in my heart to stay. You know not to encourage me like that. Woo! Yes. I feel it.
I think she really believes that. I think she really believes it. You must be a believer.
Yes.
I think she really believes that. Isn't that amazing? Well, let me ask you something. It goes on to say that as the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your souls. Now, he's already talking to believers. They've been born from above by the Spirit of God. But notice, he's talking here about the life. He's speaking actually in 1 Peter to Christians who were under serious persecution. Their property had been confiscated. Their houses had been taken. They lost their jobs. Some of their family members had been put to death. They were facing prison, maybe even being run out of their country. And notice this. He's saying that as a result of their faith in God, they were going to have the salvation of their souls. Their mind, will, and emotions would be saved. From depression, from torment, from grief, from sorrow, from sadness, from disappointment, from all the setbacks. How might God be speaking to you right now? You going through a trial? Anybody going through a trial? Well, like I said many times before, you've either just come out of one or you're in one right now or you're headed to one. And the funny thing is this, God expects us to be happy about it. He does. God says, count it all joy whenever you encounter trials of any sort. Is that in your Bible or is that just in mine? I think we have the same Bible. James chapter 1, verse 2. God tells us, get excited when you're going through a trial of your faith. Yes, sir. Okay. We usually get excited when it's over. But God is saying, I want believers to believe that I'm really in charge of what I allow them to go through and what I don't allow them to go through. And I want them to be so far ahead of the devil that they're going to mess with his mind by starting to rejoice when he causes trouble in their life. They're going to rejoice because they really do believe that God's in charge and the devil is defeated and there's no weapon formed against you that will ever prosper. And no matter what comes your way, all things will work together for good. They're not all things are good, but it will somehow work together for good for God, for them that love God and call according to his purpose. And God just expects us to believe that before we see any good happening whatsoever. And I just... How are we going to do that? Because I've failed way too many tests and I've had to retake so many. I'm still retaking tests today that I should have passed a long time ago. I really am. I've failed so many. It's like, okay, we'll do it again. Do it again. That's the thing with God. You fail it, you get to retake it. Okay. All right. So if you and I are going around this mountain again, and we know this inside information, do you think that we as a family could encourage one another and maybe remind each other when we know a brother's going through a trial? Say, okay. Look, brother, sister, here's the word. Come on, let's get it right this time so we don't have to retake it. Let's count it all joy now. Let's get excited now. Let's praise God now. Let's thank God now. Let's get excited now that something good's going to come out of this right now when you're going into it. Okay, can we do that if we encourage one another? Would you encourage me? Would you, sister? Okay, so when you know I'm going through, will you come over and say, I got the Georgia, and I may say, I don't want to hear that. But will you keep on doing it? Okay. Would you do it for anybody else here? Okay. Would anybody like a joyful Santa to give you a little of this happy juice she's drinking? Would you? Who would like an encourager like that? Amen. Who would like to be an encourager like that? Oh, we need encouragers. Amen. Raise your hand if you say, I'll be an encourager. Okay, whoa. Take some names, Pam. Take their names down. Because the next trial that's coming, I want to call you ahead of time and say, hey, would you help me? Help me remember. I know I preach it and I'm supposed to know it, but I still have to have help applying it. Because it's easy to preach. It's another thing to be reminded of it and live it. Okay, you said you help me. I'll help you if I'm aware you're going through stuff. Okay, and we got Super Santa here to help us too. Joy is power, energy that comes from God. It's supernatural. It really is. The word joy in the Greek is the word chara, which means gladness of heart. And really, this is my own definition here. I say it is an anticipation that God is doing something mysterious that'll glorify him in the end, if we believe him, if we trust him. That's what I've come up with, believing. That's what it's for. Because like you quoted, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And like my wife told me this morning, when we don't have strength, it's because we don't have joy. So if you're weary, you're low on the joy. So you're low on the joy because you're not believing God. You're believing the enemy. You're believing some lies somewhere. God's still on the throne. So this joy is an anticipation It's like hope. Hope is believing confidently that something good's going to happen. And this joy is believing that some way God is mysteriously working behind the scenes. I don't know how he's doing it or exactly what he's doing, but he's doing something that's going to make something good come out of this thing, and therefore I'm going to praise him in advance. That's why we're called to shout before the walls come down. That's why we're told to give him thanks in every situation that we're in. That's why we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, a double command to rejoice. So it's just only, you can only do that by faith. You have to believe the word. You got to really believe that, especially when you're facing cancer or you're facing bankruptcy or you got bills collectors call on you or you got sickness or pain in your body. You got to believe something. And it really comes down to a matter of trust, isn't it? So we need to provide avenues, opportunities in the church for people to exercise faith in God's word and take a risk called trust. That's what the faith walk's all about. It's about trust, risk. You know why our church, not every church does this, by the way. Our church, we give a public invitation after a message. Sometimes on Wednesday nights, I'll do that, but every Sunday. We give what's called a public invitation after the preaching of the gospel. Why? The invitation like that is really only about 150 years old. You know that? That wasn't always. That wasn't like in the early church, probably, and stuff like that, no. But in larger churches, in mass rallies and crusades and stuff, about 150 years ago. You know, Billy Sunday was a great evangelist, D.L. Moody. They began to call people publicly to take a stand for God. Why? Why should we do that? Some people are really offended by that. I get offended. A lot of people get offended. They've told me they get offended by that. How dare you ask people to stand up? Well, we have the biblical basis for it. You've heard me talk about what Jesus said, confessing publicly, and things like that. But the real reason is it's an opportunity for you to risk and exercise your faith. And trust God. If you confess him before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So that's your moment. It's your opportunity. It's like the young lady did Sunday morning. You know, it was an opportunity. And it wasn't even at the end of the sermon. That was totally unorthodox. Hey, Shirley. And she came forward. Why did she do that? She felt compelled by God to do it. She was exercising her faith. Now, she could have stayed right back there and prayed the same prayer, and we'd have never known a thing. Could she have been saved back there without walking forward in church? Yeah, if she called on the name of the Lord in faith, yeah, she could have been, yeah. But I'll guarantee you she'll never forget the time that she walked forward in church. Had she sat back there and never walked forward, she might have forgot today when the devil comes back around to steal that word and say, well, you know, that didn't really happen. But now she's, no, I nailed it down. I did it public. I stood up in front of all these people. Now, there's a reason. God expects our belief to be moved into the area of trust. We believe, then we trust. You can believe and not be trusting. The devils in hell believe and tremble that God is God. They don't trust God. So you move to the area of trust whenever you risk something. Trust involves risk. Faith involves risk on our part. The greater the risk, the greater the joy. I wish young lady was here tonight. But when you got saved, when you made it public, you took a risk. Did you have any joy? I tell people when they get baptized, you know, when you get baptized out of obedience to do what God has said to do as a witness for Him, when you come out of that water, you're going to experience joy. And they do. You can see it on their faces. They may have been scared to do that at first, but they overcame the fear and God gave them joy. People experienced joy based upon the risk that they assume they're taking. Walk forward in church. Maybe give your testimony in church. Preach a sermon. Sing a song. Do a solo. Whatever that thing is, there's great joy that comes in that. God has purposely made us to be able to, because we're risking and faithing and trusting in Him. So when there's little joy in our life, we're really not doing much where we exercise our faith. We're playing it too safe. We're playing it too safe. We're trying to be comfortable. We're trying to be nice little Orthodox Christians. We clap, do little golf claps, you know. That was a good song. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to be, you know, silly, but I'm trying to. Where's the shouting? Where's the hollering? Where's the ho? Where's the running? Where's the people that cut loose and have no fear of man whatsoever? But see, worshipers, true worshipers, really need to be right up here. I mean, sometimes, and I appreciate, Ricky, you want to not necessarily, it's not for show. It's not for show, and I agree. It's not a performance. But worshipers inspire other people to worship. When you see people up here that are free, it inspires you to get free. When you see somebody here that can jump and shout, that's just not their normal nature or their personality, you know the Spirit of God's got a hold of them. It inspires you to get free. Freedom is contagious, and worship is contagious, you see. And joy is contagious. It's contagious. I mean, if it's from God. If it's manufactured, you know, counterfeit by man, no. As soon as the movie's over, it's gone, you know. So when, for example, when you know God is speaking to you, giving you a word, the preacher's preaching, and the word or the scripture he's using, it just lights you up on the inside. I mean, when you know God is speaking His word, He's preaching to you, He's talking to you, or maybe you're reading it in the morning and you read it and you just know God is talking to you. Here's what happens. Matthew 13. The sower sows the seed, which represents the word of God, on stony ground. And the one who hears the word receives it with what? He knows it's a word from God. Whoa! God is talking to me. He receives it with joy. But there's no root. There's no depth. And notice, when trouble comes, because of what? Of the word. Because the devil fears you getting the word, because the word of God is alive and it can change you. And because of the word being preached to you, he's got to come and rattle your cage. He got to shake you up, buddy. He got to get your attention. No, come on. Don't pay any attention to that. Look over here. You got car problems, man. No. You got health problems. Now you got problems with your kids. Now you got financial problems. Look over here. Get you off the word. Are you with me? Trouble comes to get you off that word. You stay on that word and you lock in on that word. Mm-mm. You ain't taking this away from me. It's going to come up. And it's going to produce after its own kind. And you're going to have a breakthrough. But most people have stony hearts. They don't have any depth. They're just looking for a tingly feeling. No, just give me Silent Night and a candle and a kumbaya. And I don't want any of that shake, rattle, and roll stuff. No. I don't want any of that speaking in tongues stuff. No. I just want a little tingle, Lord. Tingle bells. That's all I want. And they fall away. The word, they get offended. They say, well, you know, I started tithing. Like the preacher said, I was all excited. And man, things got worse. How come I didn't get that breakthrough? Or how come I'm not healed? So-and-so got up and believed God. I've believed in, and I'm not healed. In fact, I'm worse. They get offended because of the word. And they fall away. Well, they fall away. They fall away from the faith. They fall away from trusting God. They fall away from believing His word. Well, that just doesn't work. It may have worked for them, but it didn't work for me. No, the word of God works all the time. So God, let me wrap this up. God is always leading us to exercise the next level of faith, because faith grows from faith to faith. Glory to glory, faith to faith. Let me ask you the question. What's the next step for you in your walk with God? What's your next step of faith where you're going to have to risk? You're going to have to trust. What is it? It's easy to have joy when all is well. The bills are paid. Christmas is bought. Everything's done. It's easy. That's not real joy. The real joy is when you have a trial. When I was in school, I had a fear of taking tests. I'd freeze up. Oh, man. Probably because I didn't study. But when I went to Bible college, we had pop quiz every day. Pop quiz, you know, pop test. As soon as you got in there, based on your reading. And so I had tests every single day. Then I had exams coming up and this and this and this. And after a while, I started enjoying the test. Because a test to me was just prove to me whether I knew what I, you know, knew the material. And I actually started enjoying the test because to me it was just proving to myself if I really knew it or not. And I think that's the way we're supposed to be in life. We don't know what's coming up next. We don't know what 2018 is going to bring. We don't know if at the end of the year you'll say it was a good year, bad year, whatever, you know, based on your circumstances and things that happened in your family or whatever. We don't know all these things that are going to happen. But God wants us not to get to the place of faith where we're not afraid of the test when they come. That we actually get excited about it. That's where He wants you to be. And when you're free from fear, you're really free. Last verse of Scripture, Hebrews 11 is the great hall of faith. If you don't know that, there it talks about by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Moses came out of Egypt. By faith, Abel gave a better sacrifice. By faith, Sarah gave birth. By faith, all the great heroes of the faith are right there in Hebrews 11. I like this one particular piece of scripture that I have up here for you. It talks about Moses and how he left Egypt behind. He wasn't worried about the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He never flinched, but he held to his purpose and he endured 40 years of being a fugitive on the backside of a desert after being raised as a prince of Egypt. Now, vagabond, homeless, out in the desert, 40 years. And he endured it by this, the same way you'll endure your trial. As, come on, say it with me, as seeing him. Are you facing a trial or a test right now? If you're not, you will. This is all preparation. What if you're facing a health issue right now? You should be asking God the question, Lord, what does this mean? You've allowed this. What does this mean? And then, number two, what am I to do? If you're facing a health issue, you're under attack of the enemy. God didn't send you sickness and disease. You're under attack. What are you to do? Learn to fight God's way. Primarily using your mouth as a weapon. Now, we use our mouth as a weapon, but usually we shoot ourselves in the leg. And we're to use our mouth as a weapon by calling things that are not as though they were. The first step you ought to do if you're dealing with a physical issue is that you say what God says with your mouth. By your stripes I was healed, by your stripes I am healed. I will see the manifestation of this in my life. I am healed. I'm claiming that. I stand on that. But most of the time, people use their mouth to say the opposite. Oh, man, I hurt. Oh, man, I wish I'd get well. I wish God healed me. I wish, you know. You're shooting yourself in the leg with your own mouth. So your mouth can be a deadly weapon. It can be life or death. Make sure you're loaded with life. Okay? So the pastor just told you to go out tonight and get loaded. With life. Now let's play joy police. We're going to play joy police for the rest of the season till January 1. Joy police. Raise your right hand. I deputize you in the name of the Almighty God to be joy police. Anywhere you see the joy of the Lord is not being manifest, you have a right to arrest that individual and love them and help them to bring joy back into their life. Amen. Amen. So your joy police, anybody has Scroogeitis, you arrest them. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. We have this in our house, as it right over our door. And it's there just for me because I need it more than anybody. And then we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. No strength, no joy. Joy, strength. You need strength? Get your joy back. Let's stand to our feet. I had a prayer written out, but we won't have time for that. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and rejoice in Him right now. This is practice. Rejoice in Him. However you do it your own way. But rejoice in Him. He's God Almighty. He's your strength. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to be a person who doesn't play it safe. He wants you to be a person who dares to risk because your faith is great in the Lord. He wants you, the next trial you face, He wants you to count it all joy before you even realize what's going on. To count it joy. To be so different from the world that the world will look at you and say, how do you have that kind of hope going through what you're going through? And you can testify of the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ is your Lord, your God, your Savior, your strength, and your joy. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You're joy police now. You're on duty 24/7. All right. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.